Tempest of Wrath and Vengeance has become a TikTok sensation, with readers across social media documenting their emotional reactions to Melissa K. Rorich's dark fantasy romance. The third installment in her Legacy series continues to captivate audiences with its morally gray characters and complex world-building. Celebrities like Taylor Swift have been spotted with copies, and the series has sparked countless fan theories online. What makes this book particularly compelling is how it explores themes of destiny versus choice in a realm where gods manipulate mortals like chess pieces. As Rorich warns readers from the start, prepare for emotional whiplash, breathtaking twists, and characters who remain villains at heart despite their redemption arcs. The story opens with a devastating scene of betrayal that reverberates through the realm. Tessa stands over a bleeding Theon, her gold dagger catching the moonlight as crimson stains spread across the marble floor. Despite his desperate pleas and raw confession of love, words that once would have moved her heart, she plunges the ceremonial dagger deep into his chest, her voice cold as she declares, "Only one can be left standing when chaos comes to reign." This brutal act carries even more weight following the revelations of the previous book, where Tessa uncovered the labyrinthine truth of her heritage as the granddaughter of multiple gods, including the feared Arius and the mysterious Serafina. The third source mark that now adorns her skin, binding her simultaneously to both Theon and Luca, pulses with dark energy as she commits this betrayal. 2 weeks after this shocking event, Theon meets in secret with Razak Greybane and Eliza in the ancient Grove of Whispers. Their faces are grave as they share disturbing details about Tessa's prophetic dreams, visions that have been growing more violent and frequent with each passing night. The witch Sienna, known for her unparalleled ability to interpret divine omens, delivers a chilling warning. If the current path remains unchanged, Tessa's recurring nightmares of Theon ending her life will manifest in reality. The prophecy speaks of blood spilled under a crimson moon when the barriers between realms grow thin. Meanwhile, concealed in the shadows of the Great Hall, Tessa observes the heated tribunal proceedings from her hidden vantage point above. The realm's most powerful rulers engage in fierce debate about her lineage and the unprecedented nature of her power, 3 source marks, when most wielders can barely survive one. When Lord Jove, his voice thundering through the chamber, questions her very right to exist, the assembly erupts into chaos. Some call for her immediate execution, while others argue she might be the key to ancient prophecies about the realm's salvation. Driven by mounting questions about her true purpose, Tessa embarks on a perilous journey into the deepest recesses of the Pantheon, a place where few mortals have ever tread. There, she encounters Akas himself, the god of light and beginnings, whose radiant presence reveals him as her grandfather. In their tense conversation, he confirms her destined purpose, to correct the balance by completely eradicating the Arius bloodline. His promise to reunite her with her long-lost mother hangs like a tempting prize, contingent on her success in this deadly mission. This revelation transforms Tessa's understanding of her role, making it clear she's now a player in a divine game where gods use mortals as pawns, and failure means not just death, but cosmic consequences. The web of relationships grows increasingly complex as Luca experiences intense visions linking him to Tessa, dreams filled with shared memories they've never actually lived. Meanwhile, Axel grapples with his dramatic transformation into a night child after drinking Katya's blood to save her life, his humanity slipping away with each passing sunset. Each character finds themselves entangled in the intricate machinations of gods and ancient prophecies, their fates seemingly predetermined, yet constantly shifting with each choice they make, creating a tapestry of destiny and free will that threatens to unravel at any moment. Tessa's unique magical abilities continue to develop throughout the story, making her both powerful and dangerous. During training with Luca, she struggles to control her magic until he deliberately provokes her rage by burning her skin with his black flames. This strategy works brilliantly. Her power grows into a chaotic whirlwind with rain and wind becoming her own personal storm. The three-way bond between Tessa, Theon, and Luca creates constant tension as they can feel each other's emotions and sometimes hear thoughts. This connection, never meant to be but couldn't possibly be any other way, becomes both a strength and vulnerability for all three. When Tessa taunts Theon through their bond, claiming someone else is pleasuring her, he smashes a mirror in rage, cutting his hand as blood streams onto the dark countertop. Her final words echo through their bond. "You made me bleed. Now I make you bleed, Theon." Meanwhile, Axel's transformation into a night child brings its own complications. Imprisoned and tormented by bloodlust, he hallucinates seeing blood that disappears whenever he tries to touch it. When finally released, he attacks Katya despite his love for her, only stopped by Theon's intervention. The revelation that Katya is carrying his child shocks him back to clarity, but their relationship faces a new challenge. The twin flame mark Katya took to find him will slowly drain her unless he takes a companion mark, something impossible now that he has physically harmed her. The power dynamics within the realm continue to shift as Tessa massacres the Serana Villas, freeing Fae who were being used in breeding programs. This action earns her the wrath of the realm's rulers, who debate whether to imprison or execute her. The tension escalates when Tessa summons hunters to protect herself during an Augui attack, only to discover they selectively target Arya's legacy members, revealing she doesn't truly control these powerful beings as she thought. As the story progresses, startling revelations about the characters' lineages and the realm's history emerge, each discovery sending ripples through carefully maintained alliances. Theon's investigation into ancient texts leads him to uncover that Rozic Greybane is actually Luca's brother from a parallel realm, a truth that explains Luca's extraordinary power as a direct descendant of Sargon. This connection adds another layer to the complex relationship between Theon and his most loyal friend, particularly as they realize their shared destiny was orchestrated centuries before their birth. The revelation forces Theon to question everything he thought he knew about bloodline magic and its influence across realms. Tessa's heritage proves even more intricate, an unprecedented combination of four powerful bloodlines, Akaz, Zinta, Arias, and Serafina, that ancient laws strictly forbade from mixing. This genetic confluence explains her unique abilities. Zinta visions seamlessly merged with Serafina's dreamwalking, allowing her to pull others into her visions, specifically Luca, whose trust creates the strongest connection. Her Arias gifts manifest in unexpected ways, while her weather manipulation powers remain enigmatic, possibly tied to her mother's unknown identity. Ancient scrolls suggest such a combination could either herald unprecedented power or catastrophic instability. In the labyrinthine politics of the underground, Bree Delacroix reveals her ambitious plan with calculated precision. She intends to transform the underground into an independent kingdom before expanding her influence across all of Devrim. Her offer to Axel, a position of power at her side, comes wrapped in velvet-covered steel. She knows his unique position, bridging underground operations and surface kingdoms, makes him invaluable, even in his weakened state. Their tense negotiation reveals deeper conspiracies, with multiple factions vying for control of the Shadow Realm. The truth about the Serana Villas shatters Tessa's worldview. What appeared as an elegant establishment masks a sophisticated brothel where legacy members can order exactly what they desire from both Fae and mortals. Rorden's subsequent revelation proves even more disturbing. The villa's strategic location near the Dreamlock Woods, where residual Serafina legacy power lingers, was chosen specifically to increase conception chances. This discovery illuminates the moral complexity of the realm, where necessity and tradition often clash with basic human dignity. The most devastating revelation comes when Tessa discovers Luca's father Zan imprisoned in Faven cells, alive despite years of believing him dead. Her decision to withhold this information for weeks, hoping to protect Luca from further pain, backfires catastrophically. When the truth finally emerges, it creates an irreparable rift between them, culminating in Luca's devastating condemnation. "You wanted to be a monster? Congratulations, Tessa. You succeeded. This betrayal of trust becomes a turning point in their relationship, demonstrating how even well-intentioned secrets can destroy the strongest bonds. The romantic entanglements in this story are as complex as they are passionate. Despite Tessa's betrayal, Theon cannot stop loving her. When she powers on the phone he gave her, she finds over 100 messages from him, one sent every day since she left, revealing his continued devotion. His messages range from updates about her wolf Rowan's recovery to his unwavering promise, "I'll still come for you." At the Serana Gala, Theon dances stiffly with Felicity, his contracted match who eagerly offers to be the perfect, obedient wife he once claimed to want. Yet he realizes he only desires Tessa's wildness and challenge. When he manages to pull Tessa onto the dance floor, their bond vibrates violently at the contact as they move together perfectly. Later, in an alcove, Tessa surrenders completely to his passion as their magic intertwines, her light latching onto his darkness in a moment of perfect union. Meanwhile, Luca's feelings for Tessa grow increasingly undeniable. After rescuing her from an attack, he confesses, "It was always you, for both of us," explaining how he'd tried to convince Theon to select someone else because dragons are jealous creatures. Though loyal to Theon as family, Luca declares, "You are my light, and I've always been yours. I just didn't understand it." Their passionate encounter follows, with Luca's dragon wings manifesting as they acknowledge their shared brokenness. Axel and Katja's relationship faces its own trials when the twin flame bond between them dies during his transformation. Though she initially recoils from his touch, he pulls her close, promising, "I still choose you, Katja. Bond or not, I still choose you." Later, they receive union marks and purchase rings, Axel impulsively calling her his wife as they forge a new kind of bond beyond the magical one they lost. These relationships illustrate the central theme of the story, choice versus destiny. Despite prophecies and magical bonds, each character must ultimately decide whom to trust, whom to love, and what sacrifices they're willing to make for those choices. The underground emerges as a crucial setting, revealing a parallel society with its own complex politics and power struggles that mirror, and often surpass, those of the surface world. At its center stands Bree de la Crux, an enigmatic figure who has inhabited the underground for centuries, predating even Axel's ancient father. Her revelation that she merely allowed the Arias family to believe they controlled the underground shatters long-held assumptions about power dynamics. When she hints at being sent after the realm was created by the gods themselves, it suggests a divine purpose to the underground's existence that few had suspected. The House of Four, Bree's domain, holds darker secrets than initially apparent. When Axel returns, he uncovers disturbing evidence of hidden villas, sophisticated breeding programs where fey and legacy bloodlines are deliberately crossed to create increasingly powerful offspring. Mansell's confession about being forced to breed with Valter's source, Eviana, isn't an isolated incident, but part of a systematic approach to power cultivation. These breeding programs represent a calculated effort to create perfect vessels for ancient powers, treating sentient beings as mere genetic stock in a centuries-long experiment. Axel's transformation into a Nightchild catalyzes a dramatic shift in underground politics. His confrontation with Bree reaches a breaking point when she refers to Katja as his vessel, a term loaded with implications of ownership and control. Axel's violent reaction, pinning Bree against the wall and threatening to hunt her across the stars had anything happened to Katja and their son, demonstrates both his newfound power and his fundamental difference from other underground dwellers. His declaration of the underground as his kingdom isn't merely about territorial control. It represents a philosophical shift from the predatory nature of underground politics to a more protective stance. Meanwhile, the surface kingdoms face their own political upheaval. The tribunal meeting becomes a battleground of competing interests and ancient prejudices. Theon's legitimacy as Arya's lord faces multiple challenges: the absence of proof regarding his father's death, and his controversial bond with Tessalyn as his source. The Fellaen lady's objection to his instatement while bonded to a source reveals deep-seated prejudices about power structures and acceptable relationships between rulers and sources. The Serrana Villas massacre becomes a flashpoint for wider political tensions. The debate over using shifters as trackers to recover missing Fae exposes long-standing racial and cultural divisions between the kingdoms. Some rulers advocate for aggressive tracking methods, while others resist what they see as further exploitation of marginalized groups. These disagreements reveal deep fissures in the alliance between kingdoms, exactly what Theon anticipates and plans to exploit. His observation that he needed them to shatter suggests a calculated strategy to use these existing tensions to reshape the political landscape entirely. Throughout the story, characters struggle against various forms of captivity, both literal imprisonment and the constraints of destiny. Evianna, Valter's force, enjoys relative comfort in her captivity, but remains bound by their source bond. When Tessa visits, bringing wine and asking probing questions, Evianna maintains careful control over what Valter can sense. After learning about her secret daughter and the massacre at Serrana Villas, Evianna breaks her wine bottle and hides the glass shards under her bed, preparing for whatever opportunity might arise to escape Valter's control. Later, when Luca and his companions discover the entrance to the Favon dungeons, they free not only Valter, but also Zan Mors, Luca's father, who has been captive for 25 years with a collar preventing his magic and shifting abilities. This liberation represents a significant turning point as long-buried secrets come to light and new alliances form. Evianna's journey of freedom continues when she receives a blocking mark on her shoulder that severs her connection to Valter. As Eliza applies it with a burning scion, Valter's voice in her mind grows increasingly panicked and fragmented until it disappears completely. Though still physically confined, Evianna begins planning her next moves, determined to carry out her plan of wrath and vengeance regardless of the cost. Tessa faces her own imprisonment when Dex enters her room with binding bands and a special ring that painfully suppresses her magic. He tells her ominously that the Pantheon will take what they're owed as he leads her away. Her rescue comes when Tristan uses her blood with marks drawn on the ground to free her from the cell. Theon immediately pulls her into his embrace, his dark wings calming the war within her soul. When she whispers, "You came for me," he promises he'll always find her. Yet the most profound captivity may be that of destiny itself. As they fight for survival against attackers, Theon finally understands why Sienna and Tristan fear speaking of the future. Attempting to avoid prophesied fates often brings about the very end they feared. He realizes that trying to stay ahead of visions can drive one mad, and that fate isn't inevitable, but rather the culmination of choices made over time. The book reaches its crescendo through a series of intense confrontations and startling revelations that masterfully set the stage for the saga's final installment. The pivotal moment occurs when Theon, struck by a ceremonial golden blade meant to sever divine bonds, stubbornly maintains his protective magic around an injured Tessa, even as his own immortal essence bleeds away. His determination to shield her, despite the personal cost, demonstrates the depth of his commitment beyond mere duty. The arrival of Luca and his brother Razik in their magnificent dragon forms, Razik's scales gleaming obsidian while Luca's shimmer with ethereal silver, turns the tide of battle as they decimate the attacking forces with ancient dragonfire. Their retreat to a hidden chamber deep within the Pantheon reveals intricate magical wards and centuries-old protective enchantments. Here, in this sanctuary adorned with crystalline formations that pulse with divine energy, Theon unveils his devastating plan. With grave certainty, he explains that Tessa's continued presence in Devrim risks drawing the attention of the Fates themselves, beings so powerful that even gods fear their intervention. The balance of power among the realms, maintained for millennia through careful treaties and divine laws, stands threatened by her very existence. Theon's solution is both strategic and heartbreaking. Tessa must leave Devran permanently, crossing into another realm where the Fates' influence cannot reach. He entrusts her safety to Razik and Eliza, whose combined knowledge of forbidden pathways between worlds makes them ideal guides. Luca, bound by both duty and deepening emotional ties, is commanded to accompany her as guardian, a role that now extends far beyond its original scope. Tessa's reaction is raw and powerful, her fury manifesting in crackling energy that makes the chamber's crystals resonate dangerously. She reminds Theon of his sacred vow never to abandon her, her voice breaking with betrayal. Yet Theon maintains his resolve, his final words, "Be free," carrying the weight of both blessing and farewell as he turns away, marking the first time he's ever truly let her go. The narrative then introduces Akira, a being of immense power whose storm magic manifests in swirling tempests and lightning that dances at her command. Her confrontation with her father Akaz in his tower fortress reveals layers of family betrayal and cosmic manipulation. Their exchange exposes how Akaz violated ancient laws to create her as a fury, stealing power from the primordial forces themselves. But his ambition led to unexpected consequences. Akira's daughter, now revealed to possess power beyond mere fury, embodies chaos itself. The implications of Akira potentially being Tessa's mother adds profound complexity to the story's mythology. This connection suggests that Tessa's abilities, which have puzzled even the most knowledgeable immortals, stem from a deliberate manipulation of divine bloodlines and stolen power. The parallel between Tessa's earlier declaration while stabbing Theon and Akira's final ominous question to Akaz creates a chilling symmetry. What will you do when chaos comes to reign? This echo suggests that the prophecies which have haunted these characters, whispered in divine halls and scratched into ancient texts, are not just approaching their fulfillment, but may have been set in motion generations ago through Akaz's original transgression. At its core, Tempest of Wrath and Vengeance explores the tension between destiny and free will. Each character must decide whether to accept the role assigned to them by gods and prophecies, or forge their own path, regardless of the consequences. Tessa struggles with her purpose to destroy the Aerys bloodline, torn between her growing feelings for both Theon and Luca, and the mission given to her by Akaz. Theon grapples with his responsibility as Arya's lord while trying to protect Tessa, even from herself. Luca navigates his loyalty to Theon against his deepening connection to Tessa, ultimately declaring, "My loyalty is to you, Tessa," words that mean more to her than any declaration of love. The story reminds us that power always comes with a price. Axel loses his legacy status and twin flame bond with Katja in his transformation to Nightchild. Tessa's immense magical abilities make her a target for those who would use her as a weapon. Eviana's freedom from Valtor requires a magical mark with unknown consequences. Even the gods themselves seem bound by rules and limitations, suggesting that absolute power remains elusive even for divine beings. Yet amid these constraints, the characters continually assert their right to choose. As Melissa Rorich notes in her author's message, the world of Devrim mirrors our own reality, where people must sometimes hit rock bottom to question their ingrained beliefs. The story emphasizes themes of hope, breaking cycles, and self-determination, noting that while actions have consequences, people can choose their path forward. As we await the final installment in this captivating series, one question remains. When chaos comes to reign, will our characters be pawns of destiny or masters of their own fate? The answer, like the realm of Devrim itself, is likely to be as complex and unpredictable as the storm that rages within Tessa herself.